Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Wash Up Walk-Ons, we've got a good one for you today. Episode 61 coming at you. Switching it up today. Former All-American Alex Meyer, Hawkeye wrestler in the house. We're going to interview him about some Hawkeye wrestling. We're trying to get those guest episodes out. So we hope you like this one. This was a great episode with Alex. We hope you enjoy. Let's have a day.
What is up, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans? We are back for episode 61. This is not Drake opening. We're changing things up today because apparently Drake didn't have anything funny to say. So I'm introing this, and to be honest, I'm pretty excited about this episode because for the first time, the Washed Up Walk-Ons are bringing on an athlete from a different sport. We are pleased to bring an All-American Hawkeye wrestler, Alex Meyer, to the podcast. We're real excited. We're going to talk some Hawkeye wrestling and talk about his story a little bit, and can't wait to get into it. Alex, how you doing, man?
Good. What's up, guys?
Oh, you know, just doing our thing. This is what we do every Sunday. Usually it's Sunday morning, but Kev was in Chicago, Chi-Town this weekend, Kev?
Yeah, had a wedding back in Chicago this weekend. So,
were you back winning any physique awards?
What's that?
I know that's what you like to do when you're back home is win physique awards and stuff like that. Just seeing if anybody else handed out any medals to you.
Yeah, honestly, that's probably one of the weirdest senior poll things to vote on. It's who has the best physique, and apparently, I won that. And Drake likes to bring it up every now and then. But yeah. So yeah, I saw a bunch of people from high school. It was fun. But yeah. Alex, what about you, man? How was your weekend?
It was good. Just did some studying and kind of hung out, relaxed a little bit.
There you go. If I'm being honest, weekends without Hawkeye football are shit.
Yeah, so.
That is right.
So that's kind of part of the reason we got Alex in here today. We've got a bye week for the Hawks, and it came at a really good time because we'll be entering Camp Randall in about 6 days, a little less, which is Going to be something. We'll talk about that later this week on the Friday episode. But for now, we thought we'd mix up the content a little bit and get a guy in here that has been through it on the inside of a different program for the University of Iowa. Alex, talk a little bit. We're not going to go for hours tonight. I'm sure we could if we really wanted to get into it. But talk a little bit about your journey to the University of Iowa, how that worked, recruiting in high school for you, and kind of how you became a Hawkeye.
The whole recruiting trip and how I got to be a Hawkeye. So that started about, well, I grew up in Pleasant Hill, Southeast Polk High School, just east of Des Moines. I actually went to elementary school right next to Prairie Meadows. I know you guys know where that's at.
You know, we know where's that.
Yeah, we absolutely know where that place is at.
Yep. So we kicked a few footballs, a few soccer balls over the fence into Prairie Meadows in elementary school recess.
There you go. Hey, but so quick question before you get into it. Was it always wrestling for you, or did you play a bunch of sports growing up, or was it kind of a, you know, wrestling mindset?
Yeah, I played football up through my sophomore year of high school. I played baseball through eighth grade, and I ran track up through my freshman year of high school. And then after that, I kind of figured out that I liked wrestling the best, and I was better at that than the other sports, and the other sports were just kind of getting in the way of training for wrestling. So kind of dropped the other sports and focused on wrestling. And I think that's when my kind of high school career and really took off.
Gotcha. So like when does, cause we're not really familiar with how the recruiting process works for wrestling. Like in football, it tends to start like maybe after your sophomore year of high school. It's earlier and earlier these days, but like how does it go? How does it work for wrestling? Like when do you start getting recruited by some schools? When they kind of start like scouting you guys out?
Wrestling's getting like earlier and earlier, just like all the other sports are. When I was going through, you could start calling on like July 1st before their senior year. And then once your senior year started, you can take your official visits and all that stuff. Before that time, you can take as many unofficials as you want. And you can like communicate through handwritten letters and stuff. Now I think it's changed so that they can start calling and doing official visits early. So now I think you can do official visits as a junior, and there's more like rules on texting and Facebook messages and all that other techie recruiting ways.
If you were a recruit and you knew that you could get paid now that that this legislation has passed, do you think you'd have chose Iowa again?
I think so. I mean, I would choose Iowa again no matter what. I think you bring up an interesting point with wrestling being a non-revenue sport for a lot of schools.
Not in Iowa.
We have
answer the question for Drake. Like, tell me one school that, you know, gets more love for their wrestlers. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be more of a marketable person than here in Iowa City.
I don't think I could argue with that point. I was just bringing it up in conversation.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Alex, so when you were going through recruiting, who was all reaching out to you? Who else were your other options?
So I took five visits. I visited Iowa, Iowa State, Missouri, Northwestern, and Old Dominion. A few others came to like visit me at my house, UNI, Princeton. Those were kind of the big ones. And then I took my five visits. It kind of got down to Iowa, Missouri, Northwestern. And then I knew there's one place to go if I was going to become the best wrestler that I was going to be, and that was Iowa. But another like side thing that was like a major plus to me was I knew I wanted to go into medicine, and Iowa had like a good medical school and stuff. And so through the recruiting process, I came over to Iowa City one day for like an unofficial visit. I was getting pretty close to like deciding where I was going to go. And Tom Brand set me up with a meeting with the team surgeon at the time, Dr. McKinley.
Okay.
And so we just sat down and talked over at the hospital for a little bit, but that made a big impression on me that Coach Brands wants his student athletes to succeed. None of my other the coaches that were recruiting me, they're like, oh yeah, you can do pre-med and you can wrestle, of course, yeah, why not? But Tom went out of his way to set up a meeting with, you know, a busy surgeon that's taking care of a bunch of athletes and stuff, to talk to a high school senior that's possibly going to go to Iowa.
Yeah, the Iowa edge, boys and girls.
Yep. And then at the same time, there was a fifth-year senior, Vinny Wagner, who was in his first year of medical school at the time. So I talked to him a lot on my official visit. So he was doing his first year of medical school and wrestling as a fifth-year senior.
I mean, you guys kind of get sometimes a reputation as like a bunch of meatheads, but you wrestlers are actually some real smart motherfuckers.
The wrestling team, they won the highest team GPA last year.
I do remember seeing that. Yeah. You guys run a tight ship over there. How's med school going? So you're second year of med school now, right?
I am. I'm in my second year of med school. It's going really well. It's going fast.
Oh, good. Yeah, if there's anything I know.
I get to see Ryan almost every day. Get to see the real Dr. Ward.
Yeah, because the one week.
He ain't a doctor yet. Let's not give Kevin any undue credit.
Yeah, he ain't a doctor yet, all right? Do you guys ever haze the first-year med students at all?
Not really. I mean.
Can you start?
He's bigger than everyone, but yeah, we can try to figure something out.
All right, cool. So, you know, you're talking about how, you know, Coach Brands was like, helped hook you up and everything with that meeting and everything. He always just seemed like a super energetic person. I know he came and talked to the football team a couple of times. He would sometimes do Friday night chapels before games. And I always was very intrigued, you know, just the passion that he spoke with. And he seemed like a really fun coach to play for. I mean, like, just can you tell us, like, you know, what your experience was with both Tom and Terry? Like, honestly, I feel like they those two guys should get me going every morning.
Yeah, so Tom and Terry, they're always kind of like grouped together, but they really have very different personalities and how they interact within the program. Tom obviously is the head coach, so he's kind of like managing the entire program, running the day-to-day stuff. Terry's more hands-on, running practices, putting guys through drills, just like wrestling. And then Tom does more of the management stuff, which I think fits their personalities. And as far as wrestling for them, there's no coaching staff I would have rather wrestled for. I don't think anyone in the country cares about their athletes more than Tom and Terry do. They care about like their like no matter what, they'll do what's best for their athletes first. And I think you see that with like red shirts, Olympic red shirts, all that kind of stuff that we're going into this year.
Yeah, man. I think both.
That's kind of that was my first impression of both coaches, both the Brands coaches, is that they were the most genuine human beings that you could ever meet. And it's like that, even though they have a position of power and like they have gained success and all of these things, like they are without an ego and they're just like genuinely awesome human beings. And that's my favorite thing about those two guys.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. They care about their athletes. They'll do anything for their athletes. And they take that passion and their intensity that people see Matt side into everything that they do. Every morning when they come into work, every night when they go home to see their family and their kids, it's 100% all the time. And I think that's a great example and leadership of a program. Like if we go into practice and the mats are still wet from when they got washed, Tom's the first one to grab a towel and start wiping up wet spots. He doesn't want his athletes to get hurt. he's not above cleaning up around the room.
Sweep the sheds, baby. Do you guys ever, do you guys have like ever read like books about like team culture and stuff when you guys were going like through it or?
We had a couple of different kind of like mentality guys come in and do some exercises with us. Okay. I can't remember all their names. We did that a couple times. I know that the team has gone through Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins.
Yes.
This past season. And then a new thing, they hired a new strength coach last year, Quinn Holland.
Yeah. We know Quinn. Yep. Quinn's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yep, and he put up some signs around the weight room and the locker room that says "Sweep the Sheds."
Yep. So that's
from All Blacks.
That's from a book. Yep, from the All Blacks book that we read. We've been our junior year, guys. Sound right?
I don't remember it. I read more books for Coach Doyle. I read more books for Coach Doyle than I read in all of my years of high school and college combined for myself.
You're correct, Kevin. It was the summer of 2016.
Yeah, that's right. It's, I think the name of the book was Legacy. But yeah, so like when you were talking about this, you know, Coach Brands, you know, being the first one to go wipe up the mats, like that's kind of like one of the themes from that book is, you know, at the end of the day, it was like the captains and the leaders of the team for the All Blacks, which is the national rugby team for New Zealand, who's like widely renowned as like the best rugby team in the world. It wasn't like the rookies or the young guys that were hazed into, you know, cleaning up after everyone. It was the leaders who would literally just sweep the sheds. And, you know, that's kind of what built a successful culture and a successful program. And, you know, it's really not surprising to see that, you know, the Brands kind of carry that mentality because they have they've kind of continued on the Iowa wrestling legacy of, you know, always being one of the top programs in the country, if not the top program. So I think that's really awesome to see. Did you read David Goggins' book too?
I have not read it yet.
Highly recommend.
It's on my growing list of books to read.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I know you're busy, like, you know, learning how to be a doctor and I mean, if that's really that important, but go read David Goggins' book whenever you get a chance. I just read through it for the second time a couple weeks ago. And everyone out there needs to read that book.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of the other things I remember Tom always talking about is non-senior leadership. So like, I mean, within the football program, I've heard you guys talk about on the podcast and stuff. It's like always the seniors down. With wrestling, it's a much smaller team, and there's guys that are like freshmen, sophomores that can come in and lead by example, and you don't have to wait till you're a senior to show the other guys and like encourage your teammates and stuff. And I always thought that was something that was really cool. It's like, why wait till you're older and wiser? Just, you know, just be an example from the first time you step in the room.
No, absolutely. 100%. You know, Coach Doyle would always say you're leading in one direction or another. It doesn't matter. You know, it's either you're helping move the team forward or you're holding the team back, because even if you are just a true freshman who walked on and you know, it's your first day on campus, somebody else is looking at you and probably following what you're doing too, because they don't know what the hell is going on. So no, it's 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That it's 100%. I'm completely there with you. So take us back, you know, freshman year, your first time on campus, first time, you know, wrestling with the Iowa Hawkeyes. What's going through your mind? Are you feeling a little overwhelmed? Are you feeling pretty confident? Like what's going on in the mind of Alex Meyer freshman year?
Freshman year. So I remember the very first like welcome to college things is like we started lifting right away, and like we had a good strength program in high school and stuff, but the college lifting program that we had was like so much harder, and I was so sore because it was like our preseason stuff, so we were lifting and running a lot, not too much wrestling right away. So we had the really hard lifts in the morning, And then the runs in the afternoon were just like, they were so hard and you got so much better and your shape was so good by the time the rest, like actual official season came around. We were basically the track team for a while, it felt like.
So you got dumped in the fire pretty quick. You know,
I've
really never envied the workouts that you guys go through. Y'all, like, you know, Phil would talk about them sometimes, and you know, I'm just like, nah, I'm good.
I want to ask about cutting weight. I want to hear some of the bad stories of cutting weight because I know that you guys have to go through it, and I just don't actually know what it actually entails.
So, yeah, cutting weight. I mean, I think it gets kind of a bad rap because people see, like, guys at high school, the high school level cutting weight and not eating, and, you know, they're all grouchy. But, I mean, once you get to the college level, if you can't manage your weight right, you're not going to be effective. And then, but like day to day, I think like you come, like school starts in August, you start the preseason, like week two of school. It's just kind of a gradual, you bring your weight down, you start getting leaner. I mean, we lift really hard through the summer, so most of the guys are pretty big and strong, and then they got to kind of slowly bring it down where they're getting into that kind of that fighting weight. And then once the season starts, you're fairly close to weight throughout the week, and then it just kind of gets a little closer towards meet time, and then you make weight, get a little something to eat and drink, and then the duel starts 1 hour later. So you only have an hour, so you have to manage your weight right. You can't, it's not overnight weigh-ins anymore, and it's not weighing in the morning, wrestling at night like it used to be.
Yeah, I was about to say, because like back when they did the like the overnights, like you'd probably be what, 5 pounds heavier from when you weighed in.
Yeah, that's a underestimate, but yeah,
probably 10.
I think so. They changed like the international weigh-ins the last couple years to I think 2 hours. It used to be overnight, and guys would be 10, 15 pounds heavier by the time they stepped on the mat in the morning.
Jesus. I mean, it's literally just a completely different human being then at that point.
Yeah.
Did you ever have to do like some serious cuts? Because you were always a 174 guy, right?
Yeah. So I wrestled 184 my true freshman year. Wrestled all the opens, and then I went down to 74 for Midlands my redshirt freshman year, and then it was a 74 all the way through. But yeah, I was pretty big. In the summers, just, well, I mean, I was pretty big the whole year, but I had to cut a lot of weight. And I think the only reason I was able to do it was just you'd stay disciplined and keep your weight under control after duels and stuff like that. But
so that means you can't eat ice cream after wins.
You can have a little bit, everything in moderation, but
now
you don't want to eat ice cream and then a pizza and then have some cake.
Kluve would have been a bad wrestler.
Kluve, I would have taken you getting teched inside of the first period by any one of these guys. Honestly, the reason I couldn't be a wrestler is because wrestling season is during Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and you can't eat anything. Like some of my buddies were wrestlers growing up, and like, you know, we'd always do like we were pretty close with them. Like they'd come over like after Thanksgiving, like after our family left, and like, oh yeah, I can't eat anything. I had an orange for Thanksgiving dinner. Like, oh dude, that's ridiculous. Yeah,
Kevin, I reckon that there are some pretty good meals served at the Ward family Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, you'd be correct.
Yeah. That would be pretty tough to keep your weight down.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you guys, like, wrestlers have, like, a different type of mindset and type of dedication that is just, it's
yeah, it definitely takes a certain amount of discipline. And the guys that don't have that don't last very long at the college level. They might have been all right through high school, but once they reach the college level, the guys that don't have that aren't going to last very long.
Yeah, there's no way to slack through college wrestling, that's for damn sure. So after you redshirted freshman year, right?
Yeah.
So take us from, you know, redshirt. Oh, back it up 1 second. Freshman year, there were a few squirrels that, you know, were kind of, let's just say they had a rough night. And there may or may, allegedly, some wrestlers might have been behind it. Was that you? Was that you and your friends? Or?
Yeah, I do have to claim that. That wasn't one of my best decisions ever, but I will have to claim that one.
I remember Coach Ferentz telling the story. That.
I remember, like, it's like, Iowa wrestlers got in trouble for shooting squirrels with pellet guns outside of Hillcrest. Whose idea was that?
Hey, guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
It was partially mine, partially another guy on the team. It was like Thanksgiving break. All the students were gone, and we took pellet guns and went and tried to shoot some rabbits out behind Hillcrest in the trees.
I remember Coach Ferentz coming into the team meeting the next week and be like, "All right, guys, heard we got some wrestlers shooting fucking rabbits over at the dorms. All right, I know we got some hunters on the team, but can we leave the fucking can we leave the squirrels alone for about 3 more weeks? All right."
Yeah, that was just kind of a similar response we got from our coaching staff.
Nice.
Just it was more of a, I know you're not like in like trying to cause trouble, but that's not a good idea. We cannot be doing that around here. If you really need to do it, we can find you somewhere else to do that.
Find you something else.
Yeah, we had a teammate in Hillcrest that was also wielding a weapon, but it was a real actual gun. But he didn't make it for very long.
No.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
I know what you're talking about. That wasn't a real gun.
It was a real gun.
Are you talking about the time that AJ pulled airsoft gun on the delivery guy? Yeah, no, it sounds absolutely ridiculous. The fact that I mean, he was gone by the
yeah,
summer.
He pulled an airsoft gun on the delivery guy, acting like he was gonna stick him up for the food, and then he's like, "Nah, I'm just kidding." And he paid him.
Shout out. Oh, man.
I'm J.S. Jones, one of a kind.
Shout out to J.S. Jones, man. He was kind of good people, kind of shady people. He just wanted to keep one eye on him at all times. But
yeah,
he was an interesting person, to say the least. Let's leave it at that.
So, yeah, after that incident, it was more kind of figured out what I was doing here and no more screwing around like that.
Okay, that's good. Well, you seem to got it on the right path because you did end up being an All-American. So tell us, like, you know, how you progressed from, like, freshman year through the end of your career.
So I was behind Mike Evans for 2 years, who was a 3-time All-American. And he was a professional at everything that he did. People knew him as the Stash. He was kind of one of those big personalities in college wrestling. But I just learned how to go about my business and get ready for duels and big duels and go out and to perform. And, you know, if he wasn't there, I don't know if I would have the same results, but I think he had a lot to do with my development and just being able to watch him kind of in that starting role that I took over then my junior year. I got a couple starts my sophomore year. He was injured or sick or something. So I got a couple wins over top 10 guys that my sophomore year. And then as soon as junior year rolled around, I came in and I knew I was ready since the, from the experience that I had gotten my sophomore year. Like during my, I think my freshman and sophomore year, I traveled to all the duels. Was it ready to weigh in if we needed me at 74, 84, 97. I think I got wins at 74, 84 and 97 my sophomore year. So
Jesus.
Well, that's just impressive.
Kind of that mentality of whatever the team needs. There's no backup behind me my senior year. There's no backup behind me. So it was you either wrestle or we don't have anybody.
Tape and ibuprofen. I don't care what hurts. It'll work. Yeah, dude, I just think it's funny, you know, you talk about like, you know, the starter's out and you go in and you still beat some top 10 ranked opponents. How shitty does it have to be for the other team knowing that even if an Iowa starter's out, they still are probably an underdog versus the backup? Like,
yeah, I mean, it goes to show just with our program, everyone's important. Tom always would talk about you're like one breath away from the presidency. You know, if that starter goes down, you better be ready. Your weight better be under control. You better be prepared for whoever that opponent is.
Yep. Next man in. They'd, you know, you're in the army now. That's it.
Yep. So I have a question about wrestling because, like, in football, it's 11 on 11, and you are really focused on your job as a football player. But sometimes if you screw up, other guys can clean up your mess. But when you're a wrestler, you're literally the man in the arena. And I just kind of want to ask about the nerves that go on through that. Cause I know about the nerves that go on being an athlete and being a football player, but having all eyes on just you and one other guy, I've never experienced that. So I just kind of want to touch on that.
Yeah. I think it's something that's very unique about wrestling. And it's a part of the reason why I, and a lot of other people, I think really fell in love with wrestling. It's you versus someone else. You can't blame it on somebody else. They can't pick you up. When it comes down to it, it's you or him. So, I mean, wrestling in Carver in front of 15,000 people, just you and them at one time is just super cool. Or wrestling in Kinnick in front of 47,000 or 42,000. I mean, that's super cool.
Dude, I can't tell you how much I wanted to like ask KF, hey, can we like just go to that meet and then go back to the hotel before the game? Cause that looked like the most awesome thing ever. How was that?
It was amazing. It was the coolest experience I've ever had in my life. I think the coolest atmosphere of a wrestling match. I mean, possibly in the world. I'm pretty sure it's the biggest wrestling meet, I think, in the world. In the United States, for sure, by a long shot.
I remember they set the record, and then I think Penn State was going to try to do it in their outdoors and their football stadium, but I don't remember if they actually did or not.
No, they haven't tried. There's been a couple other schools that have done outdoor meets, but it's more of like a promotion type thing, get people excited about their program. It's not, it wasn't an actual like attempt to set the record, but I think there was a lot that went into it. I mean, it was November in Iowa, and it was like 55 degrees out.
I remember it was a gorgeous day.
It was absolutely beautiful. Like, it was – the sun was shining, and then literally two weeks later for the football game, there was like 2 feet of snow.
It was the very next week, I remember. So it was the Minnesota
game
in 2015, and then the very next week was our senior day versus Purdue, and there's like 30,000 people and 3 feet of snow in Kinnick. But yeah, that was probably one of the all-time greatest days in Kinnick history right there. Beating
it was cool.
Beating
Okie State came in as they were ranked number one, we ranked number two. We won 16-15. First duel of the year. It's kind of cool that they would come up and do that. I think a lot of programs would be like, "No, maybe not," but John Smith at Okie State, legend. Six-time world champ. We'll come up.
No,
we'll put on a show.
Yeah, and I love it. And I love how like, we've kind of made that into a little bit of a rivalry, doing dual meets back and forth. I just love the mentality. Like, oh, that's you know, they're out of conference, so we can kind of control that schedule a little bit. It's not like in conference where we decide who we do and don't wrestle. It's like, yeah, let's go at it. Let's just do it, man. Yeah, it's awesome. So speaking of that, how about the dual meet coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena this year? This is going to be
the dual meet schedule.
Yeah.
Yep. So last year was a little down. There's just, you know, with the Big Ten schedule, how it works out, home and aways, there wasn't a great schedule last year, but this year is definitely makes up for it.
I mean,
all six of the top seven teams, including Iowa, are coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena this year. So
yeah, it's nuts. You know, Penn State, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Minnesota, Nebraska, and who's the other one? Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's in there. I think yeah, was something like that.
Kev, how wet are your trousers,
dude? So I was never a really big wrestling fan growing up until I came on my official visit. And we were wrestling Penn State in a duel. They were number one at the time. And, you know, I go to my first wrestling meet in Carver, and we beat number one Penn State, and the place is going absolutely wild. And I've absolutely loved it ever since. So I seriously cannot wait to see the Hawks wrestling in Carver again. And drenched, Drake, to answer.
Yeah, because listen, I've been to a couple of wrestling meets with Kev because I'm also a wrestling fan. Kev kind of got me into it more than anybody else because he just was like, dude, let's go to the meets. Like, all right, that place is electric factory. Like the fire, the scoreboard, like the Jumbotron, everything, that place is wild as hell during wrestling meets. So I'm jealous. Yeah,
there's no better place to wrestle than Carver.
Yeah.
I think it's because of the fans for sure. I mean, it's has part to do with the history, and the fans have a high expectation. So when you go out there, they expect a show. And a lot of times that's what they get.
I'm going to be honest. The fans are half the show, man. They get pissed off at the ref so easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's fun.
Yeah, they know what they're talking about. I think it's like Iowa's a wrestling state. We don't see that a lot of other places, like when we'd go on the road.
No, yeah,
dude. They're
– sorry, go ahead.
Every year, like when we go on the road, we would be the highest attended match for whatever school we were wrestling at.
I'm not surprised, man. Iowans love their Hawkeye wrestling, and honestly, like
Iowans just love their Hawkeyes, man. We just travel well for everything.
That's true.
It is true. It's true. Shout out to you fans out there. Keep doing what you're doing. Support the Hawks. Yeah, dude. I'm excited. I'm excited for this year because it's looking like we're going to have a pretty good squad too.
Yep. They're going to be salty.
So Stoll is the only one that graduated, right?
Yep.
And then we're bringing back everyone.
Was he a legend, by the way?
Was Stoll a legend?
Yeah. Like in person? Because to me, he's a legend. But I never knew the guy personally.
Yeah, Stoll is a good time. I mean, he's got rides this big bagger Harley. Came out to the Imperial Death March.
I love that.
I mean, he's like
loved that
legendary heavyweight. Yeah.
So,
Bo Bauer would love to ride Harleys with him.
that'd be something to see. That's for damn sure. But yeah, so we only lose Stoll. It's gonna be a tough loss. He was a good heavyweight for us for a long time, but. We are adding Kemmer back to the mix, so
yep.
I'm not gonna get too far ahead of myself, but I might have already booked a room in Minneapolis this year because I think the Hawks could have a real shot. I don't know. Tell me.
They definitely have a real shot.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. Quote Spencer Lee from the Penn State game when he was on the field. Book your tickets. Iowa Hawks 2020 national champs.
I fucking love it. I love it so much.
Dude, anything that Spencer Lee says, I'm behind.
Yep, I'm in too.
Yep, I'm fighting with Spencer Lee till the, till the lights go dark.
So you didn't get in crossover time with Spencer Lee, did you? You were graduated by the time he came?
So I graduated, and then I wrestled for a year for the Hawkeye Wrestling Club, his true freshman year.
Okay, gotcha.
I've gotten to know Spencer pretty well. Gotcha.
Because he's a dominant wrestler. It's fun to watch him, honestly. What makes him so successful in your opinion?
He's so good in so many different ways. Like physically, he's extremely strong, flexible. There's a lot of guys that are good wrestlers, but how he thinks, he has such a perfectionist mentality. And if he doesn't score for 7 minutes straight, he is going to be super pissed off when he comes off that mat.
You know, it's a rare mindset, I think, these days.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's not a mindset that I had, because if I came off the field and got the job done, I was pretty thrilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a very unique kid. He's an excellent leader in the program right now. He could take an Olympic red shirt this year, and I think last I heard he was not. He's going to wrestle with his boys this year and make a run at Tokyo 2020. So, I mean, he loves his boys, and he's going all in for both.
I love that. That's fucking sweet. See, I'm following Spencer Lee into battle anytime.
Yep.
Anyone else you're excited about watching this year? Because, I mean, I think DeSanto's primed to have a big year. I think I'm excited to watch the Bull wrestle again. He was always fun to watch. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. My big ones, I mean, Spencer, he's always electric, always looking to pin people. I think it'll be exciting to see Kemmerer back. He's up at 174 this year after missing last season. Alex Marinelli, the Bull, tough as nails, super strong, 165. Junior, two-time All-American, he's coming back. And then DeSanto, love DeSanto. He's on fire all the time.
That's definitely for sure.
Yeah, I always said that me and DeSanto had a lot of the same personality traits.
Yep. Yeah, DeSanto's the man. They have a transfer in Gavin Teasdale. I'm excited to watch him, see what he can do. Who else? Cassiope. I want to see how he fills in at heavyweight. Now that Stoll graduated,
I mean, he was kind of getting talked up a little bit. Like he was really good in high school, I know, but obviously,
yeah, he's legit. Yeah. He's definitely one to watch this year as a redshirt freshman. So I think he'll really grow into somebody that just as exciting, if not more exciting, than Stan Stoll. He's looking to pin a lot of guys, just like Stoll was. I don't think there'll be many people that are heading towards the exit at the end of the duels anymore.
That's really high praise.
Yeah, he's legit. And then the rest of them, I think they're all looking to grow. There's like six All-Americans back. I think they'll be right in the title hunt come March.
Can you guys imagine if we just had like six All-Americans walking around our complex all day?
No, I cannot.
Nope.
Nor can I imagine being seriously in the race for a national championship hunt. Because, like, we were there, and we were right there at the Big Ten championship, but then we still didn't get to the playoff. So, like, we weren't even in a national championship hunt. And these guys got six All-Americans and dudes that are pinning dudes everywhere and scoring points every which way. And, like, that's got to be a good feeling.
Yeah, it makes you work hard when you know the history and the tradition. And, I mean – we talked about it earlier. If your backup's usually pretty good, so you got to be on your game, or they're going to put someone else in.
100%.
And you're out there to go to battle and make those fans cheer. So that's what they came to see.
And they do it. They do it. Honestly, I can't wait to get back in Carver. I just got another quick question. Is Gable still, you know, have any connection to the program? I mean, not so much connection, but I mean, like. Is he ever come back and like watch practice and like give his two cents or anything? Or
Yeah, he does. He's kind of what put Iowa wrestling on the map after Kurtelmeyer back in the 70s. But he's very much associated with the program. He's not in there too much. He still has his locker number one. It's Gables.
That's incredible.
It'll probably be Gables forever.
That will be Gables forever, guaraned.
I think if you have a statue in front of the arena. Yeah, if you have a statue outside the arena, I don't think they can kick you out of your locker.
Yeah, he's around. It's Tom Brands' team, so he offers advice, I would say, but I don't know their dynamic, but he's around. He is Iowa wrestling. He's what started the national title runs, and he'll be, as long as he's around, he'll be associated with Iowa wrestling.
I don't think there's a more legendary Iowan out there, to be honest.
Probably not.
Besides Brady Ross.
Yeah.
Except for B-Ross.
That's a fucking legendary one.
Oh, boy. Well, Kevin, you got anything else for Alex, Drake?
No, man, it was fun. You got anything else?
No, but I do want to bring up the fact that Kevin smashed another parlay, and that's 4 parlays in 8 weeks, which is actually extremely hard to do. And if you guys are following what this guy is saying, you're making a lot of money. And Kevin, you can tell him you're welcome. This is your time to gloat in the spotlight.
Hey, man, I'm just for the people. It ain't about me. It's about making the world some money.
And burning Riverside to the ground.
Alex, dude, seriously, thank you so much for coming on, man. I had fun. I think the fans are really going to love us talking about something besides football for a little bit. I know.
It was cool hearing about something other than football. Kevin's right.
Yeah, no, I'm like I've said like 8 times already in this podcast, I'm super excited for the year. Hawk fans, if you haven't gotten your season tickets already, go ahead and get them. Book your room in Minneapolis. Book your tickets for Nationals because Spencer Lee said it, 2020. Hawkeye Wrestling National Championships. Alex, you got anything else for us?
That's right. Can we just bring up the fact that Nebraska lost again?
Yeah.
Yes, we can bring that up as many times as you fucking want, man. Bring us into it.
They didn't win. They had less points than the other team, which has happened plenty of times this year. I got one thing. Alex, you mind once the season goes full swing that we bring you on maybe once or twice and have you as our correspondent?
No, let's do it. All right. Whenever Kevin, Dr. Ward is out, I will be in.
Well, that's pretty often, so don't volunteer for that many times. But we would love to have you on and talk about some meat recaps later on in the year. And I think that would be some juicy stuff for the fans. I want to real quickly some housekeeping stuff. There's merchandise that is live right now through November 10th for all you Washed Up Walk-Ons listeners. We got some Iowa America gear.
You gotta check it out. It is so sweet.
Love it or leave it on the back.
If this is hitting your ears right now, if my voice is in your ears, check out our merchandise store because I think you guys are really going to like the Iowa America. You can wear it anytime, anywhere. You represent Iowa and the great United States of America. Love it or leave it, USA number one.
Yep, and we got the HBAM designs out again as well on 2 colors and on a few new items. We got some crew necks out there. And then as always, for the real, true, hardcore Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, we got the WUW stuff out there as well. So go get that. You can find that stuff at hawksbyamillion.com or thewashedupwalkons.com. There's a banner with all those items scrolling across the middle of that screen. You can click into it and order your stuff only through November 10th. It's only going to be here for a limited time. That way we can get all of your stuff out to you before Christmas and we don't fuck you guys over like we did last year. Go us. That's about it, Alex.
That was miserable, man.
Yeah, that was tough. Alex, thanks for coming on again. That's it for us. Kevin, Drake, Alex, hope you guys have a great week. All of Hawkeye Nation, we're back. Camp Randall, Saturday. It's going down.
Alex,
that's it.
Alex, can we get a Hawks by a million, man?
Hawks by a freaking million.
Let's go.
Let's go, Hawks by a million.
Peace.
Walk on down.
everyone. I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.